Probably you might want to.
Yeah, I think I am.
Now, shalom, shalom. I'd prefer for a Greek paper to have it in Greek and not bother with transliteration. I don't like transliteration. And for the purpose of this paper is, you know, intended for people who have got some working knowledge of Greek. So just pencil them in Greek if you want.
Now, so if I'm quoting like verses, can it be to put the whole verse in Greek, or
Oh, well, I guess that would be fine either way, as far as I'm concerned. It kind of depends on whether you feel that the sense of the context has to be looked at in Greek or not. If it's just a phrase that you're interested in, you might just quote part of it and put that part in English and then put it in Greek in parentheses or something. Yeah, you might do that, but go ahead and put it in English too. You know, I mean, don't transliterate it, but translate it too, so that the, you know, or whatever you feel is appropriate at the time. Maybe some flexibility on that. But write it as though it's going to be read by people that have been working on the street. So you don't have to explain everything. That'll slow you down too much.
Would it be acceptable just to use dictionary form, or should I go in the way out? I'm just wondering, okay,
you're right. Oh, you're doing a word study or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, dictionary form is fine. That's pretty typical. Yeah. Unless you're dealing with a study where the case of it depend, you know, is critical or something of that nature. Shouldn't be.
No, that's right.
Okay. Well, Thursday quiz, translation quiz, the last test in here. And Exodus 12, 1 to 20, and Psalm 1. Shouldn't be too big of a situation. We've taken our harder tests already. And today, where do we leave off? Isaiah 55 still, huh? Too many things going. Or no, wait. 66. Yeah, we went to 66. We're going to cover the first few verses of that. So, yep, that was requested here. Somebody requested 1 to 9. So we're on 3 or so. So we'll go ahead and continue there. And after that, we might look at Daniel chapter 9. That was suggested. We'll go ahead to Daniel and Zechariah 12, Ezekiel 1. And then I'd like to look at a little bit of Daniel 2 to 7. Where you've got the Aramaic, just to get a look at that. I don't really want to spend a lot of time with it but I want you to be able to see what the differences are and get a feel for it. And the Aramaic portions are Daniel 2:4 to 7:28, and then Ezra 4:8 to 6:18, and Ezra 7:12 to 26. So there's just several, and there's one verse in Jeremiah, yeah, and there's another one that's debatable. Can't remember now where that was I read, but I left that one out. Yeah, a couple of words. Mm-hmm.
Probably just because same thing with Jeremiah, that's what they're doing, they're quoting.
Yeah, quoting what the others say. Yeah, that's why I didn't put those down, is because I wanted to follow a narrative for a while. Mm-hmm. Okay. Daniel chapter 2, verse 4 to 7:28. And those are portions that are written about the situation in Babylon and so forth, so they're in Aramaic. Did some reading on Aramaic. Probably last, yeah. Say the best to last. Huh?
The most obscure.
But I want you to be able to see, though, that you can handle it. With what you've got, you can handle it. There's going to be enough differences where you're probably going to have to look up most everything. Basic, you know, the basic grammar is pretty much the same, but you're going to see lots of forms you don't recognize, and the same script, of course, and some similarities. You know, like instead of Elohim, it's Elohim. You know, you've got slight differences, but It would be tough to, if you knew Hebrew only, you probably wouldn't understand Aramaic unless you got used to it and worked with it for a while. But it's enough similar that it wouldn't be that difficult to make the transition. Okay, Isaiah 66. Find it here. Verse 3, I believe. John, maybe we'll let you go ahead there. I don't remember who we left off with before, but...
Shuchet Ashur Makeh Ish Zobek Zobek Hase Oreb
Kelev. It's a segue, it's Kelev, yeah.
Okay. Ma'ale Mincha Dam Chazir Mankir Levona Mavarek Awen Gam Hima Bacharu Bedarkehem Ushiku Sayem.
Yeah, there's a mouthful for you.
Nafsha.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, good.
A mouthful there.
Yeah.
One word's worth at least $12.50.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay, we'll start you off here.
You recognize one word, ish, here.
Yeah, this verb is shachat, is to slaughter. So this is a participle, and it's a substantive. He, the one slaughtering...
The, and I guess it's ox.
Ox, mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's to strike. That, and it's a participle again.
Okay.
And so it's as a striker of a man.
Striking of a man.
Mm-hmm. Is one who strikes
one
a man.
To
well,
it's either build or wisdom or something.
Well, it's actually for sacrificing. It says zoveach.
Oh,
so
I
it's from zava.
To the next line.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Participle again. So one who's sacrificing the.
This is a lamb.
A lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sacrificing the lamb.
Okay. A lamb.
Araf is to break. Break the neck, actually, I guess. Break a neck. I guess that's a full verbal idea. So to break the neck of...
Breaking...
Of a Kelev.
The neck of a Kelev.
You know, like Caleb, dog?
Oh, dog.
So breaking a dog's neck. So in other words, he's saying he that sacrifices a lamb is as one who breaks a dog's neck.
Okay, and this...
Huh?
That must be hard to do.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they have the idea of cutting off the dog. I think that's what King James translates it. Well, it's included in the verb, apparently. They give the verb as breaking neck, breaking the neck.
Okay.
Although some say cut off, too, so I don't know. We probably have to check the verb and see what the idea is. Maybe it's used for both.
And is this the ascending offering?
Yes. It's kind of similar to that, except that it's got the idea of going up. But it's a verbal idea, so it's a participle. So he that offers. You see, we've got a string of participles here, participial phrases.
So he that offers,
he that offers an offering.
Blood.
And then supply an as of. Blood of a swine, pig.
No. Blood of a pig.
Mm-hmm. So he that's offering an offering is it's as a blood of a swine.
Okay. This is the participle of Zakar to...
Yeah, to mark or to remember or something. So I think they've got the idea of... They say who marks incense. He who marks incense. And apparently it's the idea of giving incense as a memorial or something. There must be a particular technical verb associated with giving incense. We've got a real good one set up here.
These together.
Yeah. Well, he that marks incense is as one who blesses Barak, Mibarak, Mibarak is a blesser of, and then Awen is evil,
oh,
an
so
evil thing.
Lugonah is the incense.
Yes, that's the noun for incense.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, he who remembers or marks incense then,
mm-hmm,
as one blessing, and what do you say, Awen?
Evil, something evil, I guess.
Okay.
Blessing is blessing an evil, as if he blessed an evil thing.
And also, they are in...
This is to Bakar is to choose, so and they also have chosen.
They all.
Yeah, the Hema is they.
Gam,
yeah, Gam. Yeah, Gam Hema Bakru. They have also chosen
their way.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's abominations. Their abominations.
Their abominations. Of their soul.
Yeah, what you might want to do is split it. They have chosen their way, comma, and in their abominations,
okay,
their soul.
Chafat. Their soul.
This is to delight. To delight. So this is the feminine form. So their soul, because it was soul is feminine. So in their abominations, their soul delights. Wow. That was a challenge in both Hebrew and English. Okay, who's the one that chose me? You didn't, did you, John?
Dr. John.
Well,
I guess what I really wanted was verse 5.
Yeah, right. And you didn't get it. Tony, do you want to try verse 4, or do you want to wait? Do you want to pass?
I would be three.
Okay.
So I did with mine, you know.
Gam ani. Evhar.
Mm-hmm. Evhar. Mm-hmm.
Betha
alulehem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Betha alulehem. You're not done yet either. Umagurotham. Yeah, umagurotham. That's a vocal shwa anytime you're following a shurek like that. So umagurotham. Yeah, it is.
Abi Lahem Ya'an Karati.
Mm-hmm.
Wa'en.
Karati. Yeah, Wa'en. Let's see. Look up the scriptures over here. Yeah, Oneh. Oneh.
That is a home.
Yeah, I'm trying to find what your print looks like. Mine's pretty clear.
Half dot. Mine.
Yeah, mine looks okay. Yeah, it's Oneh. Yeah, Shamei'u.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Waya'asu. Those seams and sheens smite you. That'd be my eyes. In my eyes. Yeah, it's just a plain old yeah, Asher. Yeah, Uva Asher. Hard to recognize it in front.
Trying to get the vowel stirred and then you
recognize
the word. Lo. Hapsati.
Mm-hmm.
Baharu.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Also I.
Mm-hmm. This is from Bachar again. It's imperfect first person masculine singular. I mean, first person common singular. I will choose, yeah. And also, I will choose. Vexations, yeah. Their vexations. I will choose their vexations and their fears. The next two, the next word.
Delusions.
Delusions? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I will choose their vexations and their fears I will bring to them. And then Ya'an is because.
Because I call.
Mm-hmm.
And
you almost supply a one there, and no one answered. Or, and not answered anyone. I called and no one answered.
I spoke.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I spoke and they did not hear.
And they did the evil.
Mm-hmm.
Before my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes.
Yep.
And in that which.
Yeah, and in that which. That's to have pleasure again, to be pleased. So in that which I did not have pleasure, they chose. Is that Bacharu again? They chose that which I did not, that in which I had no pleasure.
Is that transcending as a positive to the doing the evil? Or is it
just... Yeah, in effect it is. It says, but they did evil in mine eyes, in that which I did not have pleasure, and they chose. So that's kind of further explaining. Yep, yep. Parallelism again. Okay, now we come to verse 5. Now we get some recognizable things here. Right.
Shimau, Devar, Yahweh, Akarebim, El, Devaro, Amaru, Ake, Kim, Sana, Akim, Maga, Zig. Taken, Lavaar, Shami, Yoko, Vad, Yahweh, Wanira F, Basi, Mach, Takim, Wahim, Ye, Ye, Shu. You listen to the word of Yahweh. And this is probably hearken or.
Yeah, hearken. Well, see, here the word of Yahweh, and then this is a participle.
Oh.
And it's from trembling. So
trembling,
yeah, the ones trembling at his word. You know, so this is kind of evocative address.
Oh.
So ye who or oh, ones who tremble at his word, hear the word of Yahweh, ye who tremble at his word or whatever, those who tremble at his word, hear the word of Yahweh, those who tremble at his word.
Amaru would be they speak.
Yeah, they have said. They spoke.
Said.
And
Ekhem would be
Ek. Ekhem is your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Ach, and it takes so funny.
Your brothers said. This is from
Sana to hate. Yeah, so, and this is the suffix on it, so hating you. Your brothers have hated you. In other words,
your brothers said they hated you?
Yeah, why don't you leave the said to the end, because you got, it starts with a verb first, but the whole next clause is describing who it is that said. And then it'll kind of pick up when it says, they said, Yahweh be glorified, you know. So I guess... You've got a kind of parenthesis in here. Well, it's not really a parenthesis, but it's a long description of who it is. It's
your brothers hated you.
Mm-hmm.
But God can probably despise you. Or
well, it's to drive you out.
Driving you out.
The brothers who hating you, driving you out. Lama'an is for the sake of.
the sake of my name.
Yes, my name. So your brothers, hating you and driving you out for the sake of my name, have said.
They said.
Okay.
Yahweh is
Or glorified.
Oh,
yeah, this is a
Yahweh,
looks like a PL here. So
Yahweh
is glorified, or it could be taken as adjusive. Let Yahweh be glorified.
And this could possibly be. Well, I think it was some kind of behold or seen.
Yeah, it is. It's a Niphal. He shall be seen or he shall appear. Is the idea.
Seen.
But he shall appear. And you might translate it but here because it's quite a contrast. So, but he shall appear.
He shall appear. And
remember Simcha, that's joy. So Simcha, but yeah, and he shall appear in your joy.
Joy, and there he will dwell.
No, it's just singular. It's just singular, but it's plural for you, plural. So, but he shall appear in your joy, and they shall. And this is a verb to be ashamed. Bosh, to be ashamed. Remember. So, and they shall be ashamed. Okay. So hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble, those who tremble at his word, your brothers hating you and driving you off for my name's sake have said, Yahweh, let Yahweh be glorified, but he shall appear in your joy and they shall be ashamed. Okay, any other questions or problems with that? Oh yes, that might be one.
To be timid or fearful.
Uh-huh.
To care for, to be concerned about. That's with L, that's what this is.
Yep.
Those who care for.
Care for.
Concerned about.
That's a real good picture there, because it's not just somebody who's afraid of it, you know, kind of a demonic type
reverence.
Of fear, but it's a reverence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a godly fear, it's a concern, a care, it's the high esteem of the value. That's real, that's a beautiful picture. Okay, good. Verse 6, Eric, I guess you're next. Are you next? Okay.
Kol Shavuot Meir Kol Negecha Kol Yahweh Yerushalayim Gemur Ve'Oyev.
Okay. This is kind of poetic, so you have to kind of flow with it.
A voice of, from the city.
Yeah, it's a voice of roaring from the city, I guess is what they give here.
Voice from the temple of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A voice of Yahweh from peace.
Okay. No, they give this as repaying recompense. You've got the gemul there is the noun, apparently. So it's, we've got mishalim gemul. They give repaying recompense.
To his enemies.
From Shalom.
Yeah, it looks like it's a
participle
from Shalom. Looks like a PL participle.
He's in peace.
Hmm. Yeah, it might be.
That's why some think Jerusalem might mean have that recognition.
Oh, yeah. Probably different roots then. This is a PL.
Okay. Yeah. Shalom means to be entire, sound, or safe, to be completed or finished.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, apparently, to be at peace or to restore, to make good. In other words, to make entire, to make
mm-hmm.
To be requited or recompensed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there is a connection then. Okay, verse 7, Doug. Okay, repaying recompense to his enemies. Repaying recompense. Yeah, gemol is recompense. And the mishalem is a participle for repaying, from the idea of shalom to be, have, you know, peace, be whole, entire.
Okay. The
Baterim is before. And this verb, next verb is to travail, before she travailed. Chaval is pain. So before came her pain, or before pain came to her. Before pain came to her. This means to deliver. She delivered. Ma'at. Okay. Looks like a hifil from Malat. Yes, delivered a male. Okay. So a male child, of course, would be the idea, or a man child.
Well, that means to let escape.
To let escape. Okay, so to cause to let escape, you know.
And to deliver. To escape.
That's an interesting concept. Okay. Verse 8. Who's up next? Yes, Peter.
Mi shama kazo, mi ra'a ka'ela, ha'yuhal eret bayom etad, in yuvalet goy ha'am etad, ki kala gam yaldav.
Okay.
Who has heard as this?
Who has heard as this? Yeah.
Who has seen as these? Will earth
Let's see.
We just had it.
Give travail here.
Yeah, feel the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right, it is. From Yachal, apparently.
So what was it, get delivered?
Travail.
Yeah, shall travail, shall the earth travail?
Travail in one day. If you will leave. It will bring forth a people.
Yeah, the if, you almost have to take it idiomatically. It's almost like one of these oath things. Let's see. It's like, they just translated shall. They just, most of them just ignore the M there.
Okay. Be born.
And make it as a question. Shall a nation be born?
Okay. Shall a nation be born?
Yeah, in they give at one time or at once.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, pa'am is step, or, you know, they give it one step or at one time or, you know, one at once.
Because she travails
mm-hmm.
also. be, will bring forth. No way. There's some sort of relationship here.
Yeah, Zion is a subject. So Zion travailed and also brought forth her sons, I guess would be the idea.
Also brought forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Zion, for yeah, travailed. Zion is the subject. So Zion for Zion travailed and also brought forth her son.
The first one's perfect and the second one's imperfect. Right?
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, yeah, that's what it looks like. Well, I'm not sure though that that yod might be from the hifil above, so it could be.
Could be,
could be a three hay. It could be a probably not though.
Could be an arm.
Could be a one then. Probably not here. In this place, I think it's just a perfect verb form. Says before she travailed or something?
Mm-hmm.
No, I guess, no, that was back in verse 7, yeah. Okay.
As soon as.
Yeah, for as soon as Zion labored, she brought forth the sons, what they said. But the idea, the literal Hebrew is for Zion travailed and also brought forth her sons. Okay. Verse 9. Who's next? John. At least you got one part of this here.
Ha'ani, Ashbir, Ulo, Olit, Yomar, Yawa, Im, Ani, Hamolit, Wa'atzar, Ti, Amar, Elohayek.
Okay, yeah. Elohayek. This hey is an interrogative hey, so you may not translate it. You just say, you know, shall.
That's right. It takes the full. Full
yeah, because aleph. Of the aleph.
That's right. Shall I break or?
They give bring to the birth here. Yeah, cause. Shall I bring to the birth? Or shall I cause to?
It must be to break the.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, the breaking the sack. Or, you know, he's probably looking at a real graphic position of the actual, you know, coming forth out of the womb.
Shall I cause to break forth out of the womb and not,
This is from Yalav again.
Yeah, shall. Cause to be born. Right?
Yeah. I think that's probably the idea. Shall I bring it to the birth and not let it be born, or not cause it to be born?
Not cause it to be born. Okay.
Cause it to bring, you know, really actually come forth.
Okay. Yahweh said, if I
This is from the participle again to
yeah,
cause.
The one causing to come forth, to be born.
Mm-hmm.
I am the one causing to be born, and I'm sorry, and I. Sorry.
That's to restrain.
And
to hold, restrain.
And I restrained. Speaking. Restrained.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, yeah, it says you're God, you know, Elohayik. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. The says Yahweh should probably go on to the front part of it. In other words, says shall I bring to bear? God says Yahweh, and then if I cause birth, and let's see. Well, what they're translating here is, surely I cause and restrain birth, says your God. I'm not so sure if I like that, though.
So if I am the one who causes to be born.
Yeah. I think that what they're saying is that the im is part of the oath again, and what they're saying is, woe be to me and more, you know, if I'm, or something of that nature. Well, I guess not an if not, but, you know, may God be praised if I'm, you know, or I am the one that causes birth and restrain. So the idea seems to be that God's the one that can bring forth birth and he can restrain it, you know. Surely I'm the one, that's the way they most translate. Surely I cause and restrain birth, says your God.
He presented his second half before his first half. It's really saying, if I cause birth and restrain, says your God, then surely will I not bring forth. Isn't it almost like it's backwards?
Well, in effect, what he's saying is, am I going to bring it right to the point of birth and then not cause it to come forth? Surely I'm the one that causes and restrains birth. You know, he's the one that's in control of it. And does it make sense for the one who's got control of it to bring it right up to the point and then cut it off, you know, and then restrain it?
So I'm the one who causes it to.
Mm-hmm.
And I restrain.
Mm-hmm.
Says your, now, this El Hayek, this is very...
Yeah, well, it's talking to, see the suffix is, well, see what you have is a plural noun with the singular, second person masculine singular suffix.
Hmm. I don't see that very often.
No, it doesn't occur very often because normally it's, you know, our God, Eloheinu. We've seen Eloheinu. Masculine. Well, wait a minute now. El Hayek, that's feminine. Yeah, that's feminine. So he's probably addressing Zion. Yeah.
Zion.
Yeah. Yeah. Elohaika. That's the one I was thinking of normally. Yeah, this is to Zion then.
Okay.
Well, that was interesting. Got up to verse 9 there. Let's turn to Daniel 9 then. I think this is fun. We'll get deeper into it. Yes.
It seems so disjunctive to me the narrative flows.
That's quite typical of prophecy. There's a lot of disjunction in prophecy.
But I mean, like grammatically, it wouldn't there be some way of, well, like down in verse 7, before she prevailed, hardly seems to fall at all behind, you know, roaring a city, you know, of recompense under his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You would normally try to run the city back up to, you know.
Well, sometimes what happens is that it's making an abrupt change and transition, and starting the she is referring to something he's getting to, namely Zion. But you don't know that yet. So it's kind of cryptic. And that's there's a certain kind of a riddle type of flavor to a lot of prophecy. You know, and, you know, what is his name? What is his son's name? Thou canst tell. You know, that kind of an idea we saw in Proverbs. And that's what makes for one of the biggest difficulties in prophecy, because the Hebrew isn't going to really help you too much. It may eliminate some things, but it's not going to eliminate everything just because of the style and the flow. So what is abrupt sometimes, and he'll drop another prophecy into the middle of something else, and he'd be talking about judgment on Jerusalem and then talk about the millennium right in the middle of it, you know. So that's the typical. This was a good passage to illustrate that.
Yeah. Could verse 7 then, if you were trying to explain this, okay, does it more follow from verse 5 then, where he's saying, hear ye the word of Yahweh, those who tremble at his word, and then he gives like two cases. You who tremble and hear his word. Number one, here's this. Number two, shall travail and bring forth. Number three.
Yeah, I think they're logically connected. It's just that they're not referring to quite the same thing. In other words, you hear they that tremble his word. Sure. Yeah, he's listing off some things here, and a lot of them are going to relate to prophecy in the future. But he's saying, first of all, that, you know, those who hated you, he's going to appear to your joy, and they're going to be ashamed. And so he's been talking about the Lord coming and appearing. And so you've got that concept. And then you've got judgment there, you know, a voice from the temple and so forth crying recompense to his enemies. That's going to happen when he returns. And another thing that's going to happen is that Zion is going to travail and the man-child is going to be brought forth. So it's kind of a number of different elements. And it depends on who you are, how the event's going to strike you, as to whether it's judgment or whether it's a blessing, you know, in it.
Then it really does, then the context really does hang together, at least. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it hangs
together.
Very frequently that'll happen. Usually, there may be some examples, but I don't think you're going to see many examples where the prophecy has absolutely nothing to do with anything that's going on. But there will be a kind of an abruptness in style, kind of pause and then say this, but it's related to what you've been talking about. But it may not be immediately obvious how it's related.
No transition.
Yeah, there's not a grammatical transition.
Yeah.
There's a semantic relationship, but there's no real clear grammatical transition. You've got several, you know, things, expression.
In English, this would make a poor composition.
Oh, yeah. But God's not trying to win a composition contest here. He's trying to, and there's a reason. What's good to do is stop and ask yourself, why is he doing it this way? And lots of times it's because it's opening it up for lots of possible, you know, future fulfillments in different times. And there's elements along those lines. Sometimes it's just kind of an emotional. It's very emotional. You blurt out this, and then you blurt out this, and you blurt out this. You know, that can be part of the expression. Okay. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I wanted to look at these. Yeah, you're not the only one, brother. That is one of the most. Yeah, I think we should always keep that in mind. It's not, you know, God's got a reason for this. God's not a fool. He's not illogical. If anybody's logical, it's God. So we need to. Yeah.
Maybe the translations
are
bad too.
Yeah, that's part of it too. That's why it does help you to get the Hebrew sometimes, because one thing the Hebrew will help you do is pick up the emotional tenor of it, if you're familiar with it. And that may sometimes solve the problem for you right there. Okay. Daniel 9.
23.
Okay. That's what we were interested in the last part. 24?
That's where he says 70 weeks.
Okay, that's probably a good enough place. Let me see if I can find it here first.
Yeah, Daniel is way back before 11.
Well, yeah, and Snaith, he's way back here. And these guys are putting it in different.
Oh.
See, one of them's following the Hebrew order, and the other one's following the English order, so I have to translate for
it.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the biggest frustrations with the interlinears. They got their pages going the wrong way, you know. This is the right way to do it here. Yeah, backwards. Okay. Well, we've got it here. Okay, 70 weeks. And who's up next? Tony, do you want to take it? Daniel 9:24? It's Kol Shaka, I think, is probably what you have for the holy before that, just because it comes probably comes Chatuf there. Kol Shaka, I guess. It might be debatable here. Kada Shaka or something. Kada Shaka. Well, anyway. Lekale.
Ha-pesha.
Ulechatem. Ulechatem. Okay, well, this is going to be interesting here. I want to check.
Is that oath?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah. Chatoth. Chatoth. Chataoth. Yeah, I've got an asterisk there too. I'm going to check over here. It may not have been there, and then they feel like it should have been, perhaps. That's probably why they put the asterisk there, that there should have been a whole amount. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, Ula Kafer. Kaper. Kaper. Awon.
Ulahabim. Tadak. Tadak. Olahim.
Mm-hmm.
Ulahatem.
guess. I don't
know what to think
about.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to check over here if I can see if I've got one. Yeah, they've got Ula Chatom. They've got a Cholam on this one. So, Ula Chatom. Ula Chatom.
Chazom. Wanavi. Walamishe. Walamisho.
Yeah, Walamishoach. Yeah, Walamishoach, yeah. Okay. That's it. So pasuk. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a fun one. Yeah, 77s or 70 weeks, because their word for week was sevens. So 77s. This is kind of interesting because it looks like the only difference between seven sevens and 77s is vowel points.
Yeah.
Could raise an interesting question, but we won't worry about that now. Maybe the 70 weeks of Daniel is really 7 weeks of Daniel. Huh? No, it's pretty obvious though from later on, because you get 60. Yeah.
And 7 and
yeah.
1.
I'm sure that's what's determining it. So 70 weeks, this means to decree, or decreed. This is a nifal.
Have been decreed.
Yeah, 70 weeks have been decreed.
On your people.
Yeah, upon your people. Mm-hmm.
And on the
This is the construct relationship, yeah, so it'd be your holy city.
Your holy city.
And the holy city of you. The city of holiness of you, it would be.
Well, it would be. Yeah, your holy city.
Yeah, you almost have to do that because you've got the pronominal suffix on there.
Mm. Mm. The city of your holiness, is that possible?
That's almost the only way you can do it, really, because it's the city of holiness, yours. Of city of your holiness. That's the only way it seems to make a sense here, because otherwise you'd have the suffix on city,
right,
and just have the adjective. So it looks like the city of your holiness.
Slightly
different. Yeah, it's just a little. It's a, just enough to color it a little bit different.
To finish.
Mm-hmm.
The
yep.
Sin.
The sin, the transgression. Yeah. To finish the transgression.
Pesha.
This is to make an end.
Tom.
Yeah, from Tom. This would be a hifil from Tom. Hifil infinitive, probably, with a prepositional lama. To make an end. End of, you probably want to say the other, yeah, of sins.
And to.
Remember Yom Kippur? Day of Atonement?
Oh.
This is to atone. Kapar, kaper. Ula kaper is infinitive.
To atone?
Yeah, iniquity. To atone for iniquity.
And to bring righteousness.
Yes, to bring in righteousness. Well, I mean, you know, everlasting righteousnesses, I guess.
That's a plural, though.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because we got singular tzedek with olamim, plural. And that's it's usually the other way around.
Maybe it's a plural match.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably something along those lines. It's an unusual use of the plural. Usually, plural of majesty, you see something like righteous and tzedek in the plural, and then the adjective maybe in the singular.
Maybe to bring righteousness of eternity upon
it. Of eternities, that might be the idea. Righteousness of eternities, that would work. Yeah. So we're translating it everlasting righteousness. Righteousness of ages. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's going... That's a good point, maybe the millennium and the new heavens and new earth. Mm-hmm.
And to make an end.
This one means to seal up. That's what they give here. Now, it looks like there's some of the same verb as to make an end above. Looks like it's from Tom again, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's got the Tao and the Dagesh. So this may be from not Tom, or it could be a PL from Chatam. It's got the Chet there. You've got to do something with that. Oh, wait a minute. Now this other one has got a Chet instead of a He. That's probably not from Tom then. So we better check this verb. This may be the same verb. One of them a PL, one of them, well, yeah. Yeah, John, you can hunt for that. We can move on here. Now, I want to make sure it's just not sloppy print here, because...
From Chatham, it's a infinitive construct. The Lachthom is an infinitive construct.
Okay.
The other one is it's an infinitive construct.
Hmm.
Okay, from Chatham... Now, the other... That says it's from Tamam, though.
Hmm. So they still may be two different verbs, huh? Are they both coming from Tamam? See, that's that geminate verb.
They've got...
Unless we've got some sloppy print here. KH.
They've got KH, Ulach, Tom, and then Kiwi, and then K, and then it says Ulach, Hot, Thane.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure what his abbreviation is. Oh, okay. Now that's what I was trying to find out in my print here. If one's got a hay and the other's got a hay, that'll make a difference.
Mark a note on it. In mine,
they both look like hay.
The carrier's got a hay.
Okay. Maybe that's the problem. We've got a difference in the readings then.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's basically the same idea. Mine's got faith in both of them.
To make an end of or finish, they say in Daniel 9:24.
Alright. Yeah. Suspicious.
In other words, we don't know what to do with it.
Okay. Well, apparently they didn't either, because it looks like there's some division on the... This is the place where the jots and the tittles make a difference. Probably not a giant difference, though. I mean, if it's from Tamam to finish or to
seal up.
Is that the first bell? No, that's the second bell? Wow. That clock, they confused me, because once in the morning it's wrong. Somebody corrects it, you know, by the time I get here, so I'm kind of operating on the basis of it being wrong. So somebody corrects it, and then I'm off. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow.
Did he finish
the translation? Nope, but he got saved by the bell. You didn't quite finish it, did you?
No, I have.
Okay. Well, we'll finish it tomorrow. Clarify it.